So that's some kind of seasonality effect for this. If you can understand the seasonality factor, it is you can reallocate your medical resource more efficiently. Okay.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. And for this disease, most cases occur during winter and spring. It's caused by, in particular, it's caused by school contact. Why is this time series interesting? The main reason is because in Taiwan, around 2003 and 2004, we get a general appearance of the varicella vaccine to everyone, every child. So we would like to see if this varicella is really efficient, effective, and what is the result of it to the seasonality and the decision in public health area. The third problem, motivative problem, is about electrocardiographic signal, ECG. EKG signal can be viewed as a simplified, it can be viewed simply as a projection of 3D dipole current in a 3D dipole current in different directions. For example, if you go to the hospital, you will see these two kinds of signals. This is lead 2 signal, this is lead 3 signal. Physicians will put some leads on your body surface and record the directional projection of this 3D dipole current. And ECG signal is observation of loop from different projections, which means that you will see different only partial information of the dipole current. And for the EKG signal, the most important information we want to observe is the 3D dipole current itself. It tells us how the electrical physiological dynamics goes inside our heart. For example, if you have ischemic heart, then this dipole current will have some weird trajectory, which can be seen from the projections, lead 2, lead 3, and or any other and other projections. So we will ask our question, what can we see, what can we observe from the EKG signals? For example, it is a very interesting field called heart rate variability. It tells us that if we are healthy enough, then our heart rate should vary according to time. Our heart rate cannot be constant. If your heart rate is very constant, then it is better to call 911 because you are dying. And another interesting issue of EKG signal is the shape is very different among different leads, but the rate of each bit are the same among these two signals, and the amplitude are the same. So we want to understand what's the difference in between the shape of one oscillation and the instantaneous and the notion of frequency. The respiratory signal also have this kind of property. So this is a respiratory signal recorded from abdomen, from chest, and from nasal sphincter. You can see that it is slow here and fast around here. They are all the same, but the pattern of one oscillation are different. So what is the real information we want from here? If we don't take this fact into account, they are all reflecting a system, but it gives us, they have different appearance. The same pulse signal. These two different signals are the pulse signal. One is recorded from the needle inserted into the artery. Another one is recorded from the outside. You can see that there are some difference, but essentially they are the same. And what is this essential? What is this the same thing? So we want to answer the above questions. By using the following phenomenological models. In this talk, I won't discuss models about the physiology because it is very difficult for us to really understand, at least for me, to understand the complicated physiology and build up the model and then do some inference. At some moment, we decided to consider this kind of signal, which can be viewed as a semi-parametric signal. That is, a summation of finite components. You have AI of t cosine 2 pi phi of t, where AI is positive and phi prime is positive. And we call phi phase function, phi prime instantaneous frequency. AI amplitude modulation. And if we really want to work with this signal, some conditions are needed for these quantities, and we will discuss it later. And a simple example for this model is if you consider cosine is L from 1 to k, and you have A L cosine 2 pi C L T, where A L is positive and C L is positive. And this is a very typical example in harmonic analysis in engineers. So A L is amplitude. C L C here, C L T is the phase function. And CLO is frequency. If you view it as a constant function, then it is a constant instantaneous frequency. The instantaneous frequency of this component is constant. So what we are doing here is we make ALO and CLOT become time dependent. What I mean is AL will change according to time, and CL will no longer be linear function. So this is the model, a simple phenomenological model. Our goal is to recover phi prime, AI from f of t. If we work with this model, then Fourier transform can immediately tell us the answer. How about for this kind of signal? F, what can you do? There are several modern methods proposed to work on this. For example, EMD proposed by Norton Huang is a way. But up to now, we don't have too many mathematical understanding of this algorithm, so that's why in the very beginning I worked with EMD, but because we couldn't get too much, so we switch it to synchronous gradient transform, which is a special case of reassignment method. And the advantage of synchronous gradient transform is somehow we can mathematically rigorously explain what's going on for each steps of the algorithm. But the drawback is you have to somehow stick to this kind of model. but it is somehow useful enough for the problems I mentioned before. So the motivation of this algorithm is simple. So what we do is, first, we understand there are two steps in the algorithm. The first step is continuous Webley transform. And imagine you have a harmonic function. A continuous Webley transform will simply give you this equation, simply by Prandtl. And you extract instantaneous frequency information by simply do partial derivative with related to B time for the Webley transformation, and you divide it by continuous Webley transformation, you get the frequency information. Then what you do is you can discretize the scale A and frequency C, and you run this synchro squeezing algorithm. What the meaning of this synchro squeezing is, you collect at each time B, you collect all the continuous Webley transformation coefficient, which provides in frequency information C to the location C. And this synchro squeezing transformation, after synchro squeezing transformation, you can simply use the reconstruction inverse continuous Webley transform to recover the original signal. So here is, if your function looks like this, then continuous Webley transform is exponential I 2 pi C 0 T. And we will make some assumption here for our convenience later, because we will deal with noise later. So we will assume that C is a short function such that the support of C hat is inside 1 minus delta, 1 plus delta, where delta is positive, and will satisfy some condition later. So you choose a mother wavelet such that its Fourier transform look like this. Then by Prandtl rule, what you will get is delta C0, and here you will get square root A psi hat to this is A C exponential I B here, and you get C D C. And then what you get here is by just evaluating the delta major, you get this guy. Then what you do is you evaluate omega FAB by taking this into account. There should be a 2 pi here. And you get C0. Oh, okay. When WFAB is not zero, and you put anything else when WF is zero. So the algorithm runs in the following way. If you give me, okay, because mother Webley is Schwarz, so you can put anything you like, for example, even distribution, whatever, a bounded function, and you can evaluate continuous Webley transform, then you define omega F. Then you do synchro squeezing transformation by taking this into account. What does it do? It collects all continuous Webley transformation coefficients whose instantaneous frequency information tells us that this component is of frequency C. this is like a delta major. You collect everything at C and you sum everything together. And if the function f satisfies some additional conditions, we can achieve our goal. Excuse me? Yes, you will see it later. Yeah, it is independent of the choice of mother wavelet. The intuition of doing synchro squeezing, the very initial motivation is trying to improve the resolution of the time frequency representation of a given signal. Because we know we have Heisenberg uncertainty principle, so no matter which kind of window you choose, you will always get this kind of blur and time frequency domain. So what you would like to do is maybe you want to say, okay, I want to collect all the coefficients together because they provide similar information so that we can sharpen the image, sharpen the time frequency representation. And that has been done in 1974. They used some differential approach. And then later on, in about 1992 or 1993, Patrick Flandrin, Ingrid, they thought about how about if we reassign scalogram or spectrogram. But and sure that works, but that can only help us to estimate instantaneous frequency. But as you will see later, our ultimate purpose is not only estimate instantaneous frequency, but also estimate the components, do the reconstruction, and the robustness, and the purpose of robustness. Yes? Each turn here? Okay, so, okay. I follow the traditional convention of wavelet. A is scale, B is time. Okay? And C is the frequency. B is time. So I have interest to see at time B, what is the frequency components we have? That is, how many components of instantaneous frequency can we find around location B? And there is alpha. Alpha is resolution of the time frequency representation, which is for some kind of technical issue when we do the proof. Yes, right, this is Gaussian, yes. Yes, this is like a delta major. Forcing all the coefficients in WF, in continuous wavelet transform, to go from the original place B to a new place, to an original place A to a new place C. Yes, that is what you will see very soon. Maybe it's better to take a look at some examples so that we can understand a bit more about what's going on here. So we consider, in the very beginning, we consider one component model. There is only one component, S1, which is AT cosine 2 pi CT. This is when there's one component in public health, people call it seasonality. And the amplitude modulation is kind of complicated. This is artificially generated because I want it to look more real. And the face is like this. And I'll put some trend. This is a statistician's interest. And we put some noise. And here, I consider karma noise. This is continuous, auto, regressive, and moving average noise. And the order is 2-4. it means that it is kind of a distribution, generalized random process, and it is time dependent, depends on 2 days ago somehow. And the karma process is a well-known stationary process. So to make it a bit harder, I put some function in front so that it becomes slightly non-stationary. And sigma is the strength of noise. By definition, the instantaneous frequency of this signal is a function. 1 plus 0.2 cosine t. So this is the example. And this is how it looks like. The amplitude modulation has this kind of decay, and it disappears here around 4 to 6. And this is phi prime of t. It has some oscillation around 1 to 1.5, 1.05, and 0.95. And trend is a decay trend. So the clean signal looks like this. So the goal is, can you tell us something, for example, amplitude modulation, instantaneous frequency, or the trend, or even if there is noise? So I put a small karma noise, sigma is 3, and this is the appearance of the signal. Then I run synchro squeezing. How to read this figure? This is time, in total 12 seconds, or 12 years. And this is frequency from 1 to 5. You can see that there is a dominant curve around 1 and disappear here about 4 to 6 and then slowly increase. You can trace it by your eyes. What is the meaning? The y-axis is the instantaneous frequency. It tells us that instantaneous frequency is around 1, which you can see very clearly by your eyes. And the intensity of the figure on this 9 is the amplitude modulation, which you can see clearly by your eyes here too. Cos. Yes. Oh, yes, this is the instantaneous frequency, 1 plus cosine, 0.2 cosine t, right? Or whatever, forget the constant. Yeah, okay. And it is here, this time. This is x-axis, this is y-axis, and this is phi prime. You see? Oh, because it wiggles slowly. Yeah, slowly. How slow it is? Here. It is here. Here, this curve. And I feel a point. You want to see this kind of oscillation, right? But you see this is only 1 to 1.1 and 2.9. And the resolution of the figure is not very, very high. So yeah, I should choose a better, higher oscillatory signal so that you can see it clearly. My fault. Yeah, maybe we can try it later if you have interest. I have the code, we can run it on spot. The code is very efficient. For this signal, it will only take 5 seconds. That is about 2,000 points. It will take you about 5 seconds. So the code is okay, efficient. So this is the reconstructed signal. This is the original one. As you can see, the signal S is the started curve, and S hat, the estimated one, is the dotted curve.
So from
synchro squeezing. I will tell you how to do the reconstruction from the theory later. Okay?
So this is from the BC transform.
Big C. Oh, right.
And so you break that and you get the dotted.
Yes, right. And this is a reconstructed noise. This is the reconstructed trend. And you can take a look in the 3D view of this time frequency analysis stuff. You see that there is something, two. This is an old figure, sorry. This is about two, I have to rescale it down to one. Anyway, you can see the flavor. This is the 3D picture of the original, the previous time frequency representation. Different viewpoint. Oh, just different viewpoints. This is somehow you see it from up, and this is you see from here. Okay, so I can add a larger noise to it so that you see, it's hard to see too much around here, but from simple squeezing, you can still see this curve, dominant, and not very clear in between. Then you can do a reconstruction, but this time, the reconstruction is not very good here, but still, to me, okay around on the other places. And the reconstruction of the noise is okay, the reconstruction of trend is okay to me. Yes? Okay, that's a good question. So we will talk about this later, okay? Very soon. I want to give you some flavor of the results before we go to the theory. And let's consider if there are two components. The original S1, previous S1, S1 we considered before, and I add another component. And the same trend, and plus a large noise, this is how it looks like. And if you run synchro squeezing, you will see this figure. And you see there is an oscillation here, curve, dominant curve. What is this? It is 3.7 minus 0.044 t to the 1.2. So you can see this is the curve about the instantaneous frequency of the second component. And I can do a reconstruction. The noise, the second component, it is not very bad, very good here, not very good here, not very good here. But because the noise is really large, so I will say it is okay to me. And another examples include like crossover frequencies. For example, you have two components. One component is of frequency increasing, and the other component is with frequency decreasing. Then this is the clean signal. Synchro squeezing can tell you the instantaneous frequency information quite accurately, and you can do a reconstruction and whatever as you saw before with large noise. Then this signal may be familiar to you for some people. This is a kind of NMR signal, simulated one. You can get some decay signal, amplitude decay, exponential decay, and instantaneous frequency changes. You can capture all of them. But even if there is large noise, you can still see something in the very beginning. Another kind of thing is dynamics detection. For example, you have two signals in the very beginning before 10 seconds, and around 8 seconds, another component shows up. This is how the signal looks like. Even with large noise, you can see something. I hope, yes? Yes. Oh, here there are three components only. Yes, so in this case I will recover three components. right. There can be as many as you wish, but you will run into maybe numerical issues in the end if you do work with computer. But theoretically, it can be finitely many. Okay, so I hope the simulated data and the model is themselves and the motivative problems are clear. So I will explain to you the theorem, including reconstruction, estimation, robustness, and do some comparison with other algorithms. So we have to work with this type of function class. We call it AF0. It is a function of a C1 and a bounded function, which looks like this. And we will make some assumptions. For example, amplitude modulation should be bounded because in any case, F is bounded, C will be C2. And I would like A of T to not disappear. And the instantaneous frequency doesn't disappear. And the soup, the instantaneous frequency is not infinity. And this is the critical assumption here. That is, the change of amplitude modulation and the change of instantaneous frequency should be small enough compared with instantaneous frequency. Okay, so at this moment, maybe you can imagine how the proof goes. Pair expansion. To be honest, Taylor expansion with tedious calculation. Yes?
That's not the only F that you can analyze.
No. Next slide. Yes. So, in general, this is what we can analyze. Yes. So, we consider a space A epsilon B. So that it contains finitely many components, all the components are from A epsilon. So that CK satisfies some separation condition, which is needed for continuous Webley transform.
But each
it can be combination of cosine sine, because sine is just it's nothing but your CK, you just should do some shift. So it can be combination of cosine, sine, or exponential harmonic, complex harmonic.
You have to know the K ahead of
time? That is a very good question. We are working on this. Because if you give me a signal, then I have no idea what the K is.
Well, that's a good question.
Yes. In the very beginning, we don't know what K is.
Right.
So we can, right now, we can only say, okay, by our eyes, I can say there are K components. For example, three. I say there are three. Then, how can you convince me why there are three? Then it comes statistics. You have to do some statistics to convince people, well, with some probability, it is there are really three components. And this is underworking. Yes. Right, right. Right, the theory is kind of weak. Yeah, and the algorithm itself can do much more. And you will see why it can be. The main reason is because of the analysis itself. We didn't go that far in analysis because it is just, if you take a look in the proof, you will see it is just, then you can cover the cases you mentioned, the crossover case, but it will just elongate the proof maybe. By 10 more pages, it's not very, but it's not. It doesn't really increase your understanding. So we decided to work with this model. A more general model can be considered with careful And notice that both of them are not vector space. So the theorem. So we fix epsilon. Epsilon is small enough. How small it is? Determine it from the signal. This is an open problem. You have a function. Looks like this. Pick a model wavelet such that, as we mentioned before, and D satisfy D divided 1 plus D. Then you fix K. With this guy, you can define a zone, which is essentially the inverse, which is the zone essentially around the inverse of instantaneous frequency. And this is a constant. Then, if epsilon is small enough, how small it is, it depends on the function before and the function class, which is detailed in the proof. Then, only around dk can the model continuous wavelet transform be large, and it can be seen intuitively because of wavelet transformation and Plancherel. Now what you have is you put A here. So what you do now here is A of T, and you replace this by C of T. Then you can just do Taylor expansion and bound the error by the moment of model wavelet. And then, yes, Taylor expansion of A and C at time V. Then, for all A and B around the zone, Zk, such that the continuous wavelet transform is large enough, the instantaneous frequency estimation will be accurate up to all the epsilon one cube. And you can reconstruct the components by synchro squeezing transformation. You do the integration according to C. Then around the kth component, then you can get the function back, in particular in the complex harmonic form, even if the original signal was in real form. So what is the benefit of it? Once you get the complex form, you can just take absolute value and you recover the amplitude modulation. Divided by amplitude modulation, take log and stitch them together, you get Vk. So get phase. In some applications, they need phase. So this can be viewed as, you can do it on whatever, phase recovery, unwrapping. And then for the noise model, we consider generalized karma noise, continuous, auto, regressive, moving average model, which looks like this. It's a stochastic differential equation. On the right-hand side is WD, WT, which can be replaced by more general model. And B is the moving average part. And A, this is the autoregressive part. A, B, and we will make some assumption, that is, there's no zeros, there's no roots on the imaginary axis, and by some trivial cancellation, we can assume that A and B don't have the same root. And W of T can be replaced by more general. In the process, D is the differentiation in general sense. We can define Y in this way. Kind of complicated, but if you sit down and do a calculation, you will see that this guy is the solution to this differential equation, and a unique one. This has been proved by Brockwell in 2010. We just borrow their results. Kind of convenient. Otherwise, that is difficult. So the stability theory. Suppose you have a random process, which comes from F plus some random process, where F is A epsilon B, and Y is a Kalman process. Then, assume the Mother-Waverly transform F satisfy Y acting from B, will have variance of order epsilon. What does it mean? It means that Y is a generalized random process. When it acts on a short function, you get a random process, a random variable. So we just assume that the random variable of Y or of this guy has variance of order epsilon. Then we can get the same result, the same order of accuracy up to probability high, up to probability one minus something. Bounded by something. So the summary of the theorem, first, it is robust to several different kinds of noise. Remember that comma 00 is white noise, on the way you prove the stability theory, you have to prove that the synchro squeezing is robust to L infinity noise, which may be dependent on the original signal. If the L infinity noise is quite small, is small enough, for example, of order epsilon. So even for dependent noise, synchro squeezing can somehow work with it. So we can have accurate estimation of amplitude modulation, frequency, phase, trend, and each component. The reason we can estimate trend, I should mention it beforehand, is because we can model trend by polynomial. And when continuous wavelet transform worked on, when a mother wavelet acts on a polynomial, you get zero. So the trend just disappears. And since the estimation of areas, since the estimation is pointwise, so components that do not exist all the time can be detected. So we can somehow detect the dynamics. And another important issue is reproducibility. That is, if you observe a longer signal compared with the original one, the result will be the same. And you can, this is a kind of convenient tool that you can use your eyes to decide what's going on, readability. And it is adaptive in the sense that it does not depend so much on the mother wavelet you choose. I will have some figure later for you. And the synchro squeezing can be used to analyze non-uniform sample data. And if the noise is small enough, it can be dependent on the signal. Well, this is what I mentioned before. And it can be also defined on short-time Fourier transform, which provides different benefits. And for some applications, it is better to use short-time Fourier transform. So this is a comparison. So this is synchro squeezing transform based on continuous wave transform, synchro squeezing based on short-time Fourier transform. This is reassignment. This is EMD, EMD. And, that's it. That is it. Adaptivity of synchro squeezing. This is the respiratory signal you saw before. If you use continuous wavelet transform, this is with, if I remember correctly, this is by Morlett, this is by Gaussian. What is this for? I forget. Anyway, using different mother wavelets, you see quite different results. So, and this you fix with one particular wavelet, it is hard to say what you really see. but with synchro squeezing.
Continuous
wavelet transform, yes. Continuous wavelet transform. So this is scale, this is time. Yes, right, this is A, this is B, BA. Excuse me? Oh, right. Oh, tornadoes, yes. And these tornadoes are for these guys, for these pigs. Yeah. That is the ability of synchro squeeze, continuous wavelet transform to detect singularity. You can view this as a singularity somehow. And the instantaneous, but if you take a synchro squeezing transform, you will see they look similar. At least I feel them similar. If I extract this knife out and put them together, I can convince myself they are similar. And you, time is running out. So, variational approach, that is, we can provide another proof saying that synchro squeezing transformation is approximately the minimizer of this minimization. So this is another way to say synchro squeezing is independent of the choice of mother wavelets, or in the sense that it only depends on the first three moments of the continuous wavelet transform. Direct minimization, this is some generalization of the previous minimization. You add an L1 term here, trying to force sparsity in the frequency. But it's very slow, high dimension, so I don't know how useful it can be. Then we go beyond. Previously, we consider adaptive harmonic analysis. By harmonic, we mean cosine. But what we really want is for real signal, non-harmonic stuff. That is, I want to replace cosine by some 2π periodic function. Why? If you remember, previously we discussed electrocardiographic signal, we discussed respiratory signal, pulse signal, and there are many other examples. All of them oscillate in some ways that are different from cosine. And this oscillation is kind of intrinsic to the system itself. So I will prefer not to separate them or say they come from different components. For example, the EKG signal. For an EKG signal, you will see that there are several bits. And this is one bit. This is another bit. And what does this bit tell us? It tells us the potential, or it tells us the constitution, or how healthy our heart is. So it is kind of describing the intrinsicity of our system, that is the heart. But our heart will have some interaction with other organs. For example, your heart will interact with your liver, will interact with your lung, with your brain. And this complicated interaction will come up as the instantaneous frequency. That is, we call HRV, heart rate variability. Which can be described as instantaneous frequency. Yes, five prime of t. Yes, and so in this case, this is our S two pi periodic signal looks like this, and the variance of length in between two consecutive kicks is the instantaneous frequency. Elliptic function? Periodic function. Yeah, two pi periodic function. Elliptic? Two pi periodic. Just two pi periodic. Yeah. We'll have something, some regularity, mild regularity. Yeah. And so this is the example. For example, this is the signal composed of two components. One is of low frequency with amplitude modulation and instantaneous frequency. It is higher here and lower there, but the shape is kind of different. You have some notch here, notch, and this is another component. If you use power spectrum or if you use short-time Fourier transform, you will see not very much. And the above reconstruction and stability theorem holds for this kind of signal. If some conditions on shape, the SI holds. And this is the result. For example, this blue one is composed of these two blue ones. And I can reconstruct both of them. As I told you, if I can reconstruct them, I can estimate the instantaneous frequency, even if it's noisy. Noisy. No, I get phi from synchro squeezing transform. Which S?
The shape.
Okay, here I don't provide the information of shape. Here, what I say is I reconstruct each component. And if you want to reconstruct shape, because you have instantaneous frequency, you have phase. So what you can do is you can unwrap this function by removing the bracing by interpolation and extrapolation, and then do averaging by the phase. Okay. It is 11, so I have several applications.
Well, maybe we should you may want to take 2 minutes tomorrow to show the application.
Okay, maybe that's a good idea.
Yeah. So first of all, I'm gonna
thank you.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
For example, if you know the synchro squeezing transform, do you have an exact formula for the reconstruction formula?
If I have synchro squeezing transform,
yeah.
What is the reconstruction formula?
Yeah.
Oh, that is what was showed here. Here. This is the reconstruction formula. Yes, just integrate C. Yes, this is the reconstruction, and this is the original signal. So essentially what you do is, this is time, this is frequency, and you will get something quite like this. Okay, and this guy is V prime of T. What you do is you choose a band around it, and you do integration for each time. You do the integration on frequency. Yes. R psi is a constant defined by this. Yes, by theory, it is epsilon to 1 cubed. If you have smaller one, if you have smaller one, for example, if you choose one half of epsilon 1 cubed, then you will get a bit worse constant around C. And to answer another question, how to choose alpha? In practice, the alpha is chosen by hand, and then normally we choose 0.1. So for yes.
Well, just the general space of models.
Okay.
So it's not a vector space.
It's not a vector space.
Your A has to be bounded away from zero. I mean, does it have some structure like the vector space?
Oh, that's up to now. We don't know too much about this space. We have some analysis on it, but it is not enough to say too much about its topology. For example, you have one component. Suppose this is a very long time, and there's another component look like this. Suppose this is F1, this is F2, both are in A epsilon. You can easily construct it then. Then F1 plus F2 is not in A epsilon. It's not in A epsilon D. It's nowhere. But interestingly, synchro squeezing works for this kind of signal. So, but surely it doesn't work very well around here, but it works quite well around another places. The main reason is if you take a look in the proof, as I mentioned here, this is the whole proof, to be honest, Taylor expansion. Everything depends on time B. So what you need to do is, you just need to take care of the error happens here, which will be very small, because you have almost exponentially decay function here to help you. Almost exponential decay. Unless you have very, very, very low frequency, otherwise the influence of this guy cannot exist forever. You can even choose bounded wavelet, compact supported wavelet, doppages, whatever. So that the influence of this guy only show up around this region, and you can have good analysis, good results on the other areas. Yes.
This kind of theorem is trying to show that if the initial signal has a time-dependent phase and amplitude that we can sort of recognize.
Yes.
Then the method recovers those to a certain amplitude.
Yes.
That kind of result, you would have to assume that the signal is in that class.
Yes, if you want to work with this theory.
Okay. But if I just give you some function.
Okay.
No assumptions on it. I mean,
Okay.
In principle, I can still compute the wavelength.
Yes. Exactly.
You can still find your synchro squeezes.
Yes. Up to this step, you can do everything you like.
I can do everything I want.
Yes, but there will be some trouble because you really don't know what's going on for the next. You don't
have a reconstruction formula?
Oh, you can reconstruct everything. You can reconstruct everything, the whole signal. Yes, you can. You can reconstruct a signal. But you cannot reconstruct components because you don't know what component is. SF, TC, DC. From 0 to infinity, this guy is f of t. You like? This is the only thing you can say. No more. Unless you have structure inside the signal. right? If you have some, if the function comes from A epsilon class, A epsilon D, so that you can have some concentration or whatever it is.
So how do you, can you remind us how to get the phi?
Phi? Okay, so here. So here, you start from here, this guy, right? And in this case, you won't do tangential, you just do Taylor expansion, whatever. And then omega f, you will get this guy. What you will get is a of b, right? B, right? It's c prime of b. Oh, shoot, sorry, no a. What am I talking about? This is c prime of b plus epsilon to 1 cube. When this is what I have, okay? So, and then, what a single squeezing transform, use B. See, what is this? This is kind of delta, just for convenience, okay? This is, you have to take care of this notation. Omega AB divide minus C, and this is omega F of AB. So what you do is you collect O. Yes, and so that what will it be? It will tell you that only around instantaneous frequency C prime B will you get concentrated 9. So that the synchro squeezing transform formula time and frequency, you will get something as you saw before. A dominant curve around C prime of P. So you get this figure, and then you can play with some curve extraction trick to extract this formula, to extract this curve out. Then you get the instantaneous frequency estimation. Yes, it is it's almost complexly support, essentially complex support. By essential, I mean it is almost zero here. And very concentrated here. What is it? It tells us that it is SF T C around C minus C L O prime of T B C R C hat. This is kind of A L O B exponential I to pi C L O B plus epsilon 1 cube.